Amen. Well, it certainly is good to be here this morning. I'm thankful for the good crowd. I'm certainly glad that for Resurrection Sunday, it looks like some of us had a resurrection this morning. But I'm thankful that Jesus didn't need coffee to get up out of there. Amen. Amen. He had the power of God in his life, and I'm thankful for that. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I went to bed late watching, of course, the basketball games, and then, of course, we had to get all the Easter baskets ready. I was joking around with Sister Gilbert. I said that stinking Easter bunny, he gets a lot of credit, and it seems like I have to do an awful lot of work. Amen. That reminded me of a story I heard this past week of these two little boys that they decided that they were going to pray. And so they got together in their room that night before they went to bed, and they got down on their knees. And he said, the one little boy got to praying real loud. He said, Lord, please give me a bicycle, Lord. And please, Lord, please give me a new PlayStation. And please, Lord, if it be your will, give me a new basketball. The other little boy looked at him and said, why are you praying so loud? He goes, God's not deaf. Little boy looked at him and said, I know that, but Grandma is. Amen. I'll tell you what, that's my son. He doesn't He gets just about whatever he wants from Grandma. He don't need to pray to Jesus, that's for sure. And he just prays to Grandma. Amen. Amen. John chapter 11, we read one of the most famous portion of Scripture in all the Bible. And this, I'm glad to be here this morning for Resurrection Sunday, but I'm thankful not only for what Jesus did some 2,000 years ago, but you see, He resurrected me one day, and that's what I want to preach about. And I believe here in this portion of Scripture, we find Lazarus, and we find that he is dead, that he is defeated, that he's doomed, and Jesus steps on the scene. And I'm thankful that one day in my life, although man would say I was dead, I was doomed, I was on the road to hell, but I'm thankful that Jesus stepped in one day. And in John chapter 11, we'll start in verse 19, and we'll read a good bit of Scripture this morning. So bear with me for just a few minutes. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, listen to this now, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said, so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Then Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? Then they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35 gives you a glimpse into Jesus' compassion. The Bible says Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay in it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha the sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe that thou should see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. Look back with me at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Not I have access to the resurrection. Not that I can get you resurrected. But I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You can walk into any number of churches this morning and grab a bulletin, and you can look at their ministries. Many churches have prison ministries and nursing home ministries and Sunday school ministries and youth ministries and all different kinds of ministries. But I believe in John chapter 11, although all those ministries are good and I believe all those ministries are needed, I believe in John chapter 11 we find the ministry that is most needed for a New Testament church in 2015, and that is the ministry to the dead. The ministry to the dead. For a few moments I want to preach that message, the ministry to the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. I'm thankful for Brother Gilbert and his dear wife, for their stand, for the opportunity to stand behind this desk and preach your word. Lord, I pray that you would help me to preach with fire. Lord, to preach with passion. I pray you'd help me not to preach to folks' heads, but to folks' hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would convict and that you would help us to have a good service this morning. Lord, we're thankful for resurrection. Lord, we're thankful for what you did some 2,000 years ago. Lord, that you had the power to roll the stone away. Lord, I'm thankful that And today, Lord, although sin has closed the stone, Lord, I'm thankful you still have the power today to roll the stone away in folks' lives, Lord, and resurrect some folks from dead unto life. Lord, I'm thankful for that this morning. Lord, go with us now, lead, guide, and direct in the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in John chapter 11, we have what is probably one of the most famous miracles in all the Bible. Here you find Mary and Martha and Lazarus, two sisters and one brother. Here in this portion of Scripture, we find that these two women were friends of Jesus. In fact, probably the whole family was a friend to Jesus. They were from the town of Bethany. Jesus had preached in Bethany. Jesus had traveled through Bethany. Jesus had performed miracles in Bethany and no doubt had befriended them. And in this portion of Scripture, we find not only had he befriended them, but of course he loved them. We find that when Lazarus dies, Jesus weeps for Lazarus. You know who Mary is. Mary, at the very beginning of this portion of Scripture, we find her anointing the Lord's feet with oil and actually wiping the feet off of Jesus Christ with her hair. That's how faithful and dedicated she was to the work of the Lord. And so we find here that these two women and this brother Lazarus had been serving God, and they loved Jesus and they loved the ministry of Jesus. But at this time in John chapter 11, we find something terrible happens. The Bible says that Lazarus gets sick. He gets sick. He gets a disease. He gets some manner of sickness. But it's not just a cold. It's not just a flu. It's not just something that he can get over. No, the Bible says that he not only gets sick, but then he dies. And the Bible says that he dies, and Mary and Martha are so distraught and the people around him are so distraught. But the Bible says that Jesus is not in Bethany at this time. Jesus is in Jerusalem. And so they send folks to go get Jesus. I'm glad that when you have a need, you can run to Jesus. I'm glad when you have a problem, you can go to Jesus. Jesus has the answers. Jesus has he's the great physician. He's the healer. He's the helper. He's the only one that can help us in our time of need. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And so we see here that Lazarus has a big problem on his hands. He's dead. Verse 32 sums this condition up. Notice what it says in John chapter 11, verse 32. Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not what? Not gotten sick. Not fell into bad circumstances. We find here that Lazarus' condition is dead. And can I say, it doesn't matter what medical degree you have, it doesn't matter how many surgeries you've performed or how much you know about medicine, once a person dies and has been dead for a period of time, there's nothing you can do. His condition is dead. You say, how do you know he's dead, preacher? Well, he can't walk. He can't get up out of that tomb. Surely if he could have walked, he wouldn't have wanted to have a stone rolled in front of a big cave and he trapped in it. No, he's dead. The dictionary defines dead as an absence of life. There is no life found in Lazarus. He has quit breathing. He has quit talking. He has quit walking. There is nothing that anybody can do for Lazarus. And can I say that if you're lost today, or the folks that we have in our families and our friends that are lost today, what we need to realize is their condition. Somebody asked me a while ago, they said, Brother Nick, how can I be a more effective soul winner? How can I not only just give someone the gospel, but how can I get them to accept the gospel and come down to church and hear the preaching and get saved? He goes, how can I be a more effective soul winner? And I've had that question posed to me many a times, and each time I think I have a different answer until this message. And I believe that when I started to read this portion of Scripture, God spoke to my heart. And He said, I believe if you're going to be a more effective soul winner, Brother Nick, you're going to have to realize the condition of the folks around you. They're not just, they don't just need cleaned up. No, you see, Lazarus could not be cleaned up. He was dead. It's not going to help him. You couldn't have took Lazarus down to the barber and said, give him a fine haircut, put a good dress on, put a good suit on him, put a nice tie on him. It doesn't help. He's lost. You can give him a bath. You could clean him up as good as you can, but you see, he's dead. It's not going to help. You see, I believe to be a more effective soul winner, what we must realize is that the folks we're dealing with are dead. Amen. They are dead. A famous preacher once said that he prayed that God would give him a burden. And he said he woke up the next morning and he said the lost people in his family and in his life and the people that he ran into, he said, I pictured them like they were in a flame. And he said, never before had I had a burden once I saw that I was literally saving them from the flames of hell. You see, what we need today is a burden. You see, I think if we saw our lost loved ones, if we saw our parents or our aunts and uncles or our children, our grandchildren, I believe if we really saw them dead, I believe we'd get a burden for winning them to Jesus. You see, they might as well already have the toe tag laid out. They might as well already have the hearse gassed up. They might as well already have the gravestone laid. Because unless you've been resurrected, unless you've been born again, unless you've been dipped in the blood of Jesus, you're dead. His condition is dead. There is not one thing. The Bible says that there all the multitude had came around to mourn for Lazarus. They were crying. There were tears. There were grief. And not one person could do anything for his condition. All they could do was cry. But aren't you glad that where we all think all hope is gone, surely there were folks there saying to Mary and Martha, you'll see him again, but it won't be right now. All hope is gone. All hope is lost. But I'm thankful that over in Jerusalem, there was somebody that could do something about it. There was somebody who could speak and get things right. I like what verse 43, although his condition is dead, I'm thankful for his call. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus arrives on the scene, and when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I'm thankful today for the call of Christ. I can see it now. Can you see the picture? Oh my, they had just rolled the stone away. They had prepared Lazarus's body. They had the spices laid on him. They had wrapped him in the grave clothes. They had carried him into the tomb. And you can hear the wails of Mary. You can hear the wails of Martha as they roll the stone away, thinking to themselves, all hope is gone. Thinking to themselves, we'll never see Lazarus again. We'll never talk to him. We'll never hold him. We'll never hug him. He'll never be able to come to the Easter dinners. He'll never be able to come to any of the things that we have for him. It's all over. You can hear the wails. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes forth with tears in his eyes. And I'm thankful he looks at that stone and he doesn't see a big rock. No, sir. He sees something that he can roll away. I mean, something that it took a lot of men to roll away. Jesus rolled away. I'm thankful for that. Say amen. I'm thankful that he rolled the stone away. I see his call. I'm thankful that when we have a condition of being dead, Jesus shows up. And can I say, as soon as you hear the call of God, all you can do is respond. I'm thankful what he said. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I'm glad that one day, although I was dead in my trespasses and sins, although I was sinking fast in the deep and miry clay, just as David, he picked me up, put my feet on a solid rock, saved me. I'm thankful that one day I heard the call. I like that old hymn. He called my name. I heard his voice. He called my name. I made my choice. I knew my life could never be the same after he called my name. I'm thankful today for the call of Christ. You say, how in the world could Jesus have enough power? You remember those criticizers? You remember those Jews over there? They said, here's a man that can heal the blind. Here's a man that can make the lepers walk again. Here's a man that can heal all kinds of things. But does he have enough power to raise someone from the dead? I'm thankful. You say, how in the world did he have that kind of power? Because he's the same God that helped Moses split the Red Sea. He's the same God that helped Joshua over the battle of Jericho. ago. He's the same God that ran down into the valley of Elah with David to face Goliath. He's the same God that was there on Mount Carmel with Elijah when the fire of God fell. He's the same God that was in the ark with Noah when he said, come on in, Noah, and your family. I'm already in. Let's go. He's the same God, my friend, that was down there in the lion's den with Daniel. He's the same God that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw three guys in? He said, lo, I look and I see four guys, and the one is like the Son of God. You see, that's the same God, my friend, that was there that day speaking to Lazarus. It's the same Jesus that turned water into wine. It's the same Jesus, my friend, that walked on the water. It's the same Jesus that healed folks and helped folks. It's the same Jesus. And I'm thankful that just as he said, so that he went to the cross to die for me and to die for you. You remember that day? They beat him. They bruised him. They whipped him. And all for me, all for you is what he went to the cross for. There he nailed him to the cross, put his hands, stretched his hands forth. They drove a nail into the left hand and a nail into the right hand and a nail into his feet. And there he was, suspended between heaven and hell for you and for me. But I'm thankful, although he cried, it is finished. Although he cried up there, it is finished, and our salvation was complete. I'm thankful that what he said, 3 days later, I will rise again. And I'm thankful some 2,000 years ago that the same God throughout all the Bible rolled the stone away. I like the old hymn. The old hymn says, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. I like what 1 Corinthians 15 says in verse 52. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. I'm thankful for the call of God. Say, I've never experienced that call. Then you're dead. I've never came and had Jesus speak to my heart and save me and be born again. Then you're dead. And I believe today if we get a glimpse into the folks that are around us, the folks that we pass by at a rural farms, at a Wawa, if we really saw that they were dead and they needed Jesus. You see, there's a lot of ministries, but what we need is somebody that's going to minister to the dead folks. The folks that are dead in their trespasses and sins, just like we were. You say, but they stink. We stunk. You say, they don't look great. We didn't look great. You say, but all hope is gone. They thought all hope was gone for Lazarus, and he came forth. Amen. Folks, we need, well, sure, people have a condition, but folks need a call. And Jesus will supply that call. I like what he says. He says, Lazarus, come get baptized. No. He says, Lazarus, come put a lot of money in the offering plate. No. He says, Lazarus, come up, put a suit, put a tie on, and quote John 3:16. No. No. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Just like you are. Just the way you are, come forth. Because God's got something big for him. God's got something good for him. God's going to take everything. You see, I like it. You see, he was wrapped up in a bunch of junk. Think about that. He comes forth and the Bible says that his hands are bound and his feet are bound. Say, how did he come? I don't know. I guess he just floated. Amen. I guess he just floated. And he's wrapped up in a bunch of junk. Notice this. He doesn't say, unwrap him and then bring him to me. No, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And then he tells the people, start unwrapping him. I don't know about you, Brother Gilbert. I got some people that are wrapped up in a bunch of junk. Amen. They're lost. And not only are they lost, not only are they dead, they're wrapped up in a bunch of junk. They're wrapped up in alcohol. They're wrapped up in drugs. They're wrapped up in a bunch of junk. But notice this. He doesn't tell them, go unwrap him. No, he says, come forth. You're not going to unwrap anybody from a bunch of junk till you get them to Christ. Our job is to catch the fish. We'll let Jesus clean them. And you can't clean a fish until you first catch a fish. He said, Lazarus, come forth. You got to get folks saved to get them unwrapped from all the junk. See, folks don't need cleaned up. I told you before, they could have cleaned Lazarus up. Wouldn't help, he's dead. You can clean lost folks up. It doesn't help, they're dead. A lost person can quit drinking. It doesn't help, they're dead. They can quit smoking. It doesn't help, they're dead. They can put a suit and a tie on. It doesn't help, they're dead. They can preach. It doesn't help, they're dead. They have to come through the blood.
Amen.
And the only way they can come is because Christ had the power to resurrect himself, and he has the power to resurrect the dead.
Amen.
There has to be a condition. Sure, they're dead. But there has to be a call. And then number three, we'll close with this. There has to be a change. Has to be a change. You know, before I got ahead of myself, but we had a revival just this past week, and we had two people get saved. And it was interesting because we experienced revival and God moved, and the first person that came was a Monday night, was just somebody that we invited out of the blue. You could tell he might have been kind of rough looking, you know. He come to the altar, crying, got saved. Came Tuesday night, came Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we had another man get saved. It was a man that there had been a lady in our church praying for her husband for years now. You could just tell he was kind of uncomfortable, but you felt like something big was going to happen. And all of a sudden, preacher got up and preached, and you could tell he's paying attention. And all of a sudden, they gave the invitation, and his wife leaned over to him. And I saw him shake his head no. And all of a sudden, he's got a little girl, and his little girl started going to the altar, and that broke his heart. And he came down to the altar and got saved. Beautiful revival. People get saved. That's what it's all about. Makes all the work, makes all the sound ministry, all the pastoring, all the preaching, all everything, makes it all worth it. You see somebody get saved. But what's interesting is we get them up front, and they go to get a photo of the pastor and the evangelist and the two guys that got saved. And the lady's husband that got saved looked over at the man that got saved on Monday night and said, I know you. And the other guy said, hey, I know you. You see, what had happened was that lady's husband that got saved, he was a correctional officer in Harford County. The other man, he had been in the correctional facility. You see, that only happens in church.
Amen.
Only in church can the prisoner and the jailer get saved.
Amen.
Only in church. Only in church can the drunk and the kid that never drank get saved, sit on the same pew, serve the same God.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Why? How did it all happen? There was a call. You say, what's my job in all this? Your job is to get dead people to Jesus. Your job is to bring the dead in. Let Christ resurrect them. Let Christ save them. Let Christ clean them up. But you got to get them here. You got to get a burden. You got to get a ministry to the dead. Notice this. Notice the change. Verse 44, notice what it says. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Notice that first sentence. And he that was dead.
Amen.
Not was asleep. Not was unconscious. Not that needed a defibrillator. He that was dead. You get saved, you were dead.
Amen.
You get saved, you were lost.
Right.
That's a beautiful thing. To think that when Christ saves you, your past is your past. The Bible says the old man is done away with. That old man was crucified. That old man died. That old man was put in the grave. But then Jesus rose from the dead. Just to give us life so that the new man can come up out too. Man, I'm thankful that I have a new man inside of me. I have somebody inside of me that looks forward to waking up 5:30 in the morning, getting ready to go to church. Got a new man that looks forward to ministering to the dead. A new man that looks forward to preaching, to hearing the songs of Christ, to hear the Easter services, to be in the service of God. You say, if you don't have that in your life, I'm afraid you're dead. And the only way to get that fixed is down here at the altar, meeting with Jesus. There was a change in Lazarus' life. He came bound, he was buried, and he rose again. I'm thankful for that. You see, the resurrection of Lazarus points to the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus points to the resurrection of us that were dead. And the resurrection of us that were dead gives hope for all those other folks out there that are dead in their trespasses and sin, that they too may be one day saved. You see, we need a ministry for the dead. You remember this portion of scripture when Martha comes up to him and says, Lord, he's been in the grave for 4 days. He stinks now. He doesn't smell very good. He doesn't look very good. He had already started to decay. What did Christ tell her? She said, just be still. Don't you want to see the glory of God? I think what he was saying is be still and know that I am God. This Easter, just a few hours, probably more lost folks come in. Maybe we have lost folks today, I don't know. But I know at 11 o'clock, more than likely, we're going to have dead folks come into the service. You say, I want to see the glory of God. Be still. Let God do His work. You see, pastor's going to preach a great message. Surely the call of Christ is going to go out. You say, what's my job in that? Just pray. Pray that God would move in the service. Pray that you could be a blessing. You know what? It may be you coming down to the altar that gets them to come to the altar. It may be you. You say, I got lost family in my life, Brother Nick. Start being a minister to dead folks. That's the most important ministry that we can ever have, is a ministry to the dead. You say, I want to see revival. I want to see the glory of God, just like Martha did. Well, Martha had to get out of the way. And sometimes I feel like I can make revival. And sometimes I feel like I can make the messages. And sometimes I feel like I can make people come to the altar. Well, I can't do anything except be still and watch God work. This Easter Sunday, let God work in your heart. Let God work in your own life. Before any but this church has revival, you must first have revival in your own heart. You see, the resurrection, He came from dead unto life. If you're here this morning, you might be saved. And I'm going to use dead in another term, but we can be dead spiritually. We need revival. Let God resurrect your heart this morning. Sun's rising. Some 2,000 years ago, He rolled the stone away for me and you. That's something we have to shout about, folks. That's something we have to praise Him about. You see, I was dead. I was sinking. I was on the road to hell. Should be in hell with my back broke. And Christ not only died for me, but He rose again for me. Let that truth sink into your heart. Let that resurrect your heart and resurrect your burden to go get the lost. Why don't we stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.